I'm Jeff Carmack, Arts and Cultural Heritage Producer for KVSC Radio, and recently I attended a rather unique event at the Pioneer Place Theater, which was held in conjunction with their current production of Tim Rice and Andrew Lloyd Webber's Jesus Christ Superstar. They're calling it the Artist Spotlight, and it is and will continue to be a chance for patrons of the plays and musicals at the Pioneer Place to interact and have a discussion with the creative individuals associated with all the Pioneer Place's productions. During the hour and a half presentation, Artistic Director Michael Kelly guided the discussion amongst the artistic team so that the audience could get a feel for what it took for this version of the rock opera of Jesus Christ Superstar to come to life in St. Cloud. This team of local talent included Music Director Jeff Ingholm, who joined the ranks of, amongst others, Ian Gillen of Deep Purple and Sebastian Bach of Skid Row in the role of Jesus, choreographer David DeBleek, who worked with the ensemble cast to create intricate movements which brought deeper meaning to each of the already well-known musical numbers, costume designer and SCSU Theater Film Studies and Dance Department Chair Jeffrey Bleem, who surrounded every actor with unique style so that simply the way they looked moved the plot forward, and scenic designer Justin Hooper, whose three-dimensional welded set design allowed for the acrobatic dance movements of 20 cast members as well as the safety of the 9-piece band in the orchestra pit. These excerpts from the Artist Spotlight follow Michael Kelly's introductions of the individual team members and focus upon the creative development behind Jesus Christ Superstar. We begin with Michael Kelly and David DeBleek talking about the collaborative process and how it all came together for Jesus Christ Superstar at the Pioneer Place.
It's a good segue into Superstar. Okay. As Pioneer Place, as we've been transitioning here too, when Dan and I sat down to just kind of re-envision our mission, the word collaboration came up too many times to count. And Superstar, for me, has always been what I call the flagship production of where the direction that Pioneer Place is heading. And the people on stage are living examples of that. What has been so great is this word collaboration. We can use this word, and you might go, oh yeah, it just means we all get together and do something. But it's a, for me as a director and artistic director, it's about trust, and it's about being an effective manager. For me, is understanding that you don't have the answer all the time, but you are in the position to put the right people to make those decisions. And everyone sitting up here has shown that. I mean, I listened to Jeff talk about empowering the actor and singer, same with David. And even Jeffrey and Justin have given me some great notes dramaturgically on how what they see in a scene particularly. And what was great is that at any given time, Superstar, the right idea for our production could have come from any number of the actors or the production team. And that's why it's such a cohesive production, as I like to refer to it as. David talked about working with contemporary dance theater and that he wasn't interested in the technical kind of dancing. And that's one thing that excited me so much about this production, was that as a director, I'm not interested in seeing that kind of musical theater. That's not the kind of production I would choose to do. And having David on board to do what he has done with this has just been amazing. So instead of me talking about how you approach building scenes, could you speak to how you approach to building your choreography, where it comes from?
Sure. You mentioned trust, and there was this incredible amount of trust that Mike imparted, at least to me. I can speak for myself of like kind of trying things, my own ideas. And early on, the song Everything's All Right in Superstar just started getting these visions. I remember wearing my MP3 player, like doing weeding in our backyard, just listening to it over and over. And I was like, wow, that is just like this trippy, trancy, kind of love fest song. And I had this idea of it. Was kind of this tribal kind of love experience that went beyond Mary Magdalene. And but it was kind of a strong idea dramaturgically. It's like usually the kind of thing a director would decide, like, I wanted to kind of stage the whole thing where everyone's moving and kind of sculpting Jesus and you know, letting Jeff's body drape across them and kind of building this sort of like, almost like a ecstasy trip at a rave bar or something. This kind of tribal love feeling. And Mike just let me go for it. I think I mentioned it at a production meeting, and you happened to be away from rehearsal the first night we played with ideas for it, and so I got to just sort of like, you know, stage something, which, you know, it doesn't always happen. You know, the director will stage it, and maybe I'll embellish things, or if it's a dance number, I'll do the steps. But so in this particular process, like Jeff said, empowering the cast, I really, to get at the kind of movement quality of everyone really being in their bodies and sharing weight with one another, you know, there's not really a technique you can necessarily teach. So it started kind of working improvisationally with the actors to kind of draw movement out of them that would match their bodies, that they could really fulfill and feel empowered to do. And so it was Friday night of our first week of rehearsal. And just incidentally, looking back at I videotaped like the first couple weeks of rehearsal, and looking back at it this week, I was like, dang, we cranked out a lot of stuff in those first 5 days. We had like a lot of stuff staged. We kind of started sculpting from there. We knew we kind of had sort of the ending of the piece. That's what it was going to build to. Yeah. And then and again, in a moment of really generous trust, Mike let me kind of keep going and like, well, I have an idea of sort of what Judas is doing and what Mary is doing and, you know, how the story is told, and kind of just proposed. It's like, is it okay if we have a circle here?
And well, and I saw it and I was like, awesome. it was just so... You use a lot of visuals when you're creating position, body positions, the way the bodies look in a space.
And at this point during the artist spotlight, an audience member asked about one of the reoccurring themes within the choreography, that being the repeated lifting up of the Jesus character in a crucifixion pose. And this is what Michael Kelly, David DeBleek, Jeff Ingholm, and Jeffrey Bleem had to say about that.
Well, the way that, I mean, that was really something that David came up with, which I really loved. My interpretation of it, a thing that I kept wanting to delve into in the play was the idea of putting this man into a superstar status and really trying to accentuate how he's being put into this role, and that being the iconic image. That's how I've been seeing it. When you started to come up with that idea, what did you see?
Well, that lift, for some reason, that sort of it's become a real motif in the play, movement motif. Mm-hmm. And I think it first came, I can't remember which came first. We used it in the opening, and it seemed just like the perfect moment for to really elevate Jeff up out of this crowd of people. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure, but I know after, I think I showed maybe the video footage, or Jeffrey had watched a run-through of Everything's All Right, and he was like, oh my god, you have him, like, crucified, and then you have him in this pietà moment with, you know, like, the famous sculpture of Mary and Jesus, and then you've got them all carrying, like, his dead body, like, from the crypt. I'm like, oh, I guess you do. They were just movements that kind of came out of working and sculpting the choreography. But then, you know, with that awareness of them and consciousness of them, then we started to consciously put them in other places in the show.
Well, the other place that happened was, I remember in a rehearsal one day, like at the end, after the whipping scene, and I'm down here and I'm kind of struggling back to get up. And originally we just kind of like, the guard just kind of grabbed me and shuffled me out. And I was like, no, no, no. Wait, because in the meantime, this music happens again. This da da da, this big triumph of music. Yeah. So I said, why don't we do the same lift with the guards? Yeah. You know, have them bring me up there again, and that really seemed to work as well. Yeah. So that was me taking a very large step as a music director and an actor to say to the director, we should do this here.
Yeah,
you know, but Michael's very. I mean, he said the same thing. He's just awesome. You know,
well, too, with all those poses, you know, it's not as if you're like giving the ending away.
Right.
You know, it's almost, I mean, it's in a way, it's like Greek theater. The audience knows the story coming in.
Yeah.
So you can really play with those elements and constantly remind them, you know what's going to happen, you know what's going to happen, that...
Well,
you know,
and
so
the
you
same
can really play with that.
Same thing with the costumes. I mean, the fact that, one of the girls has a big cross on her chest that says Jesus freak. You know, I mean, it's that same idea. You know, that this is we
it's
know
like
who
you're telling this story post crucifixion somewhere,
right.
And it's a ritual, a reenactment,
sort
of thing. Mm-hmm. So the audience gets that it's not about the suspense of ooh, what's going to happen to Jesus. You know, it's about how the story plays out and how you use images.
One other fun kind of collaborative thing from Everything's All Right with that kind of touches on costumes too was like, I think just logistically all the moves we were having Jeff do, that jacket he wears has got glass beads on it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not necessarily the best thing to be in for draping and lifting.
Right.
So I was like, I wonder, could he have his shirt off? You know? And it ended up, in addition to being a way... you know, to feature Jeff's lovely torso. It ended up being kind of this really cool way that Mary takes the jacket off, and even though she kind of passes the sort of the journey and the ritual on to everyone else to kind of give the love fest to Jesus, she's got this connection to him.
Yeah, it worked out really well.
And then it became something that she drapes on him at the end. And I think it kind of started this journey of, well, then we just talked about the jacket being put on at the beginning and, you know, it just
being taken off,
bouncing off each other.
But often things like that, they come from a very practical point of, well, you know, it's going to be hard to, like, lift him and move him with all this glass beading and stuff moving around. So sometimes the greatest ideas and all conceptual arcs and journeys come from just a practical consideration.
Since we're on glass beads, could you talk about where you started when you went into designing costumes?
I think you and I hadn't even really had much of a conversation yet. The whole production team was together. You were still in need of a costumer. And I was like, oh, well, I'm a costume designer. And I really want to be involved with this show. I had initially wanted to audition, then decided, no, I'm not up for that sort of commitment. Then I was like, oh, that's right, I can do costumes. So... I think even before we even really had a conversation, just from hearing from David some of the conversations you were having, I just went online, and because I knew I had a feeling you were going somewhat contemporary with it, but not entirely contemporary, and that there was some flexibility, which is where I love to work. I don't like working in just one time period. I like mixing things up and combining things. So I just started typing in images of, you know, grunge fashion, high punk fashion, grunge, to see how what things I could combine. And throughout the course of that, the images mostly came from high fashion and stuff. Mm-hmm. Found a few that really spoke to me. And I think really in our first conversation, while we were on the phone, I emailed you a couple of them. And we're like, is this the sort of thing you're thinking of? And you're like, yes! Like, excellent. Because I emailed you, like, my two favorite images, which you really connected with. So that just allowed me, you know, once I knew that we could be flexible in terms of silhouette and time period, but that we want it to be pretty narrow in terms of a color palette of the sort of browns and golds, then I could just play, find other images and start shopping for things. And working in a narrow color palette really helps me be more creative. I like working with parameters. Even though the time period and stuff of the show had so many boundaries and possibilities, it's like I need some containing force, which was the color palette. Mm-hmm. So it was just a blast, and then I just started buying things, and David and I took a 4-week road trip out east. We went to Woodstock and Provincetown and just went to shops and yard sales along the way, and most of the costume pieces on stage, especially for the ensemble, came from all over the country.
You're in tune to 88.1 FM, KVSC, and a news feature about the Pioneer Place in St. Cloud and a new program that they've instituted called the Artist Spotlight, where during every run of a play and musical, they'll be bringing in the creative team that puts on the performance for a free and open discussion with the public about the creative process which has brought about the performance. And now we go back to the artist spotlight with Pioneer Place artistic director Michael Kelly as he discusses the casting of Jesus Christ Superstar.
This is like Hamlet, like Othello, you don't do it unless you have that person, and you need a Jesus. And so we had Jeff from the get-go, which already helps you. One of the most difficult roles in the play, though, is Judas also. And that was kind of a point for us of we were unsure going in what we would get from a Judas. And we had a lot of things in mind. We wanted to be diverse, but we needed a storyteller that could be a liaison between the audience and the play. And so we, our audition, I had never auditioned a rock opera before. I've always heard a lot of monologues, but I'm like, no.
Not only that, but they have to sing like a badass.
Right. And that's the thing. Right. When we started, I love the concept album, which happened before it was ever staged. Mm-hmm. And Jeff loves it too, because it's so raw and passionate. And you hear Ian Gillan from Deep Purple singing those notes, and then Murray Head, who just screams out Judas. And there's so much raw passion in it. And that was a fear going in of, you know, we live in a time, I feel, where there's a lot of very musical theater-sounding people out there, and this for me was I want a rock show. So when we auditioned, we said specifically we want 32 bars from the show, come with something in your vocal range. And we auditioned here for 4 hours, we auditioned in Minneapolis for 4 hours, we had a big powwow when we got back together the next night and had people call back. And some people were really interesting. I'll talk about Kanandre Lee, who plays Judas. He came in the last person on Monday night. Mm-hmm. We had been sitting around after we've heard, I don't know how many people sing Heaven on Their Minds, and we're like, okay, yeah, I think we can do this with this person. Let's have him come back. And then Kanandre walks in, and he doesn't know a word from the show. And never heard of it. It's like read it online and said, oh, that sounds cool. And he came in and he auditioned with a song from Rent. He was just in Rent here with Jeff, actually, and then in Minneapolis. And it just, all of us, he just opened his mouth the first time. We were all like,
yeah.
So went up to him afterwards and said, all right, you have one day to learn this music. Come back in tomorrow prepared with this part of Heaven on Their Minds, and we'll go from there. And
he proceeded to
He kind of knew it. But even though he didn't fully know the song, he told the story. Like, we were so wrapped up in what he was saying, astounding. Even though he's, like, reading his sheet music.
Right. And what's so great about him, too, is that he's in a band. So he knows how to work a crowd when he wants to. I mean, if you've seen the show in the song Superstar, he works that crowd when he has the time. And but he has such a fire and an intensity in him. And when he opens his mouth, you hear the strain and the struggle that is going on in him to tell this story. Same with Molly, who plays Mary. She's in a band, and she has done she's done a lot of music and theater too. And she just has this sound that, you know, we talked about Mary in the casting process, and we were all on the fence about a few people, and then Molly just kept popping up, and something so innocent and sweet yet unbridled and raw about the way that she sang and looked, that it was a little bit of a coin flip, I feel, but it landed the right way up.
My favorite comment was Jeff made it during that casting session of, like, of all, you know, they each had to sing to him.
Right.
Yeah. Everything's all right, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember you commenting on, like, wow, 1 minute we were standing and she was singing to me, and then before I didn't even know how, but suddenly I was on the ground in her arms, and I don't remember how I got there.
Right.
She just, like, brought me to that place. She had this physical intelligence and acuity. And
well, we worked together. Like, there was a chemistry between us right away that didn't really happen with anyone else who auditioned. It was just instant comfort.
That to me was, I think, the first moment that I realized, this team is really going to collaborate well together. And to begin with, as a costume designer, I've never been invited to auditions before. No one's asked me my opinion before. So the fact that, like, really, I'm part of this? Excellent! I'd love to be part of this, because, you know, I have a stake in what bodies are being cast, not only in how they sing and perform, but... So we all saw these auditions and callbacks and had this casting meeting, and I think for the most part, all of us came into the casting meeting, because the role of Mary could go very many ways, and we had many talented women audition, that we all sort of came in with a different Mary in mind of who we were going to cast. And maybe 15, 20 minutes, half, you know, we just talked, we went back and forth until we just came to a unanimous decision, that there was no argument. It was like, well, here's what I saw in this person. Here's what I saw in that person. Oh, well, that's an important thing. And that, oh, my head was in her lap. Oh, that's important. And, you know, things like that. So I was so amazed at how we just so openly talked with each other and just came to such a unified conclusion. And just, it was such a healthy moment.
The whole night was, for every role, was like that. It was that was a really fun night.
Well, Dan was quite instrumental in that as producer, too. So the four of us, and Dan and the stage manager, and I think Adam,
and
the
Adam.
Tech director, sat through all the auditions. And at that point, Dan said, okay, let's go around the table. Each of you state your case for which Mary you'd like. And everyone got there to voice their opinion. And somehow, by the time we'd gotten around the circle, it was clear.
I wanted to go back to also with the role of pilot, which is a very difficult role, in my opinion. I mean... He has a very huge struggle, and all of his music is written in recitative, basically. So you need someone to really further that story and speak those lines. And we cast Joe Papke, who is, you should see him speak Shakespeare. I mean, he's a dialect coach, he's a text coach, he's very well-read actor. And his nerves with the play is there's a moment where he... hits a high note, and I think that's what the whole rehearsal process for him was just about, how do I hit this high note? Because the rest of it, because of his ability as an actor, it just, he understood that role from the get-go. He came into audition.
That all was really easy for him.
You know,
But he was really worried about that part, because, I mean, he told me straight out, as a music director, he came to me and just said, I listen to you and Canundre sing, and I just don't do that. You know, how do you guys... scream like that and get that kind of emotion out of your voice, and so I worked with him and worked with him some more and gave him some pointers the best I could. You know, I mean, how do you tell somebody how to do something like that? I don't know. But obviously whatever we did worked, because
my favorite direction was, he said, "Well, what I do is I open my mouth and I scream."
Is that what I said?
Go. It was awesome. And Joe just sat there like, all right, let's do it. Yeah, it was great. Yeah,
there was an awesome moment at auditions with Joe Papke too. Oh. He was the one ringer going into casting. He's like, that is so pilot. But there was this great moment. There were like five pilots in a row we were listening to, and it was storming outside, and Joe just finished his line with this intense look and this thunder just
boom.
And without skipping a beat, he just like,
Yeah, perfect.
Which is why we ended up casting some people who really had no theater experience,
right,
but had such a passion to work on this production,
right,
that,
oh, like,
okay.
Please tell the Ben story. This is fantastic.
Ben's.
Well, I wish we had him with us.
I know. I wish I had. Ben's in the ensemble. Ben Mullen is his name. Ben. Gave us his resume, helped me out too, and he filled out a sheet. And the first thing I read on his resume is, I am ranked fourth in the world as Tetris player.
I've never been in a show
I've never been in a show per se. Everything was in quotes.
I was on The Price is Right, but didn't make it to Contestants Pro.
But I was on it. And then at the bottom, he was like, but seriously, I've never done theater, and I am at the mercy of your feet.
But throw I know every word of this musical, and I am at your mercy, and will love you if I can do this.
Yeah.
And we're like, well, how can you say no to that?
And
he's been fabulous.
He's been great. He's,
and didn't I say about Ben and I think Alan too, of like, you know, those are the guys that are gonna like stay and paint when you need them to paint.
Right.
They're gonna be like putting everything into it. And they did.
And they did.
Yep.
That's, yeah, this musical and being around the cast now too, is it's much like a family, which I feel can be lost sometimes in large casts. I mean, even though it's still 20, but it's still 20. Mm-hmm. And it's a big, happy family with our own little arguments and disruptions, but everyone is so excited to be here every night, and you see that. And one note I gave, because I try not to give notes afterwards, is I just said, don't ever let the play get tired. This is always a new experience for you every night when you walk on stage. And I've watched it not too many times in performance, but at least twice a weekend, which is a lot. But and it's not doing that. And they're finding, that's the thing too, is I really wanted to empower them as actors. And after the play is up, yes, there are things that are very specific that we need to have happen. Mm-hmm. But within these roles, the thing I always say is, you will know this character more intimately than I ever will. Yeah, and it's for you. Watching Jeff do Gethsemane for me every night, he finds a nuance that I haven't seen before. And all it does is just, it reads volumes into that character of Jesus that he's portraying. And
that whole scene is very, from opening night till the 10th night, which was just last Sunday, I mean, that's really been a whole journey unto itself, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, at first it was just it's very much a technical, difficult song to sing. I mean, it's at the extreme ranges of my voice. Really beyond the extreme ranges of my voice. But, and so it was always a worry. And once I got past that, like the second or third night, every night it's just, I've gotten really deeper and deeper. I've kind of let it take me over. It's like, because it's such a powerful song. I mean, it's such a unique song in theater anywhere. There's really nothing like it in the world. And, you know, to the point where I think it was Friday night, you know, I always weep afterwards, you know, theatrically. But I think it was Friday night, I got done with the song, and I looked up at Judas when he gives me the kiss, and I looked up at Judas, and he literally went backwards, because I had just, my face was just streaming with tears. It was crazy. Every night it's just kind of permeated deeper and deeper, and it's become the part of the show that I first dreaded has now become one of my favorite parts to do. So.
Great. I want to thank you all for coming out tonight, listening to a little bit about these guys' lives and Superstar. And please come on back. Come on back. I'm sure we have not many, but a few tickets available, and see Dan or myself afterwards. And, you know, if you want to catch us in the hallway afterwards, have any questions about the show, about theater, how good my beer is, please grab me. Thank you all for being here.
For more information on performances at the Pioneer Place and future artist spotlights, you can visit their website at www.ppfive.com. That's pp5.com. Or link to it off of our website at kvsc.org under the podcasts features link. This has been Jeff Carmack reporting for KVSC News, and this report has been funded through the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and has been produced by KVSC, a proud member of Independent Public Radio.